Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable season previews. We are up to the New York Rangers on our pecking order here, and we're closing in on the end of the teams. We're more than halfway through, and I have got Jim Bay from the Hockey Writers here, and Jim, the Rangers are an interesting team this season. I mean, last season they didn't, they made the playoffs. Obviously, were a really good regular season team, but didn't do anything in the playoffs when everyone was expecting them to, especially making all the way to the Eastern Conference final the previous season. Disappointed and didn't do what everyone expected. Then changed coaches in the offseason again. Gallant was there, what, two seasons? Two seasons, then he's gone, and Peter Laviolette in. Successful coach. He's been around the block a few times, been with a few teams. We'll see how he does. But yeah, the offseason saw some changes, not tons, and like didn't any groundbreaking stuff. It didn't really change a lot of the team, but they did add a few pieces. And we'll start with that one big piece in Blake Wheeler. Coming over from the Winnipeg Jets, longtime Winnipeg Jet, Atlanta Thrasher, Boston Bruin, way back long time ago. He's 37 years old now, so he's not a spring chicken. He's getting up there in age, but he can still produce, and he's on an $800,000 deal. So, I mean, really, whatever they get is going to be really good. So what do you think Blake Wheeler is going to bring to this team? Do you foresee a big impact, or is he just kind of a depth option for the talent they already have?
I think it's going to be a little combination of both. To have another veteran presence like Wheeler isn't a bad thing on this team. I mean, as much of the core of like Kreider and Mika and Panarin have been there for a while, they've just kind of seemed to, lack that oomph. I think the thing about Wheeler is we're going into training camp, is where are they going to slot him in? A lot of people think he's going to end up on the second line with Panarin and Trocheck. That's a possibility. And then we get into the other scenarios about some of the other younger players and them flipping wings and stuff. So his versatility is going to be beneficial too. He could end up on the third line with Hedl and, somebody else. So I think, that presence, and again, getting somebody at a bargain price. The Rangers are up against the cap. There's no doubt about it. But to bring in somebody with his veteran presence and, experience, it is just going to be, a positive for them in the long run, I think.
Yeah. I mean, his leadership, his captain in Winnipeg, I choose to forget that he was stripped of the captaincy. I mean, but he was a leader there for a long time.
Yeah.
On the Winnipeg Jets season preview show, O'Connor was saying that he was still looked at as the captain even when he was stripped of it in the locker room. So big leader, lots of experience, and tons of that, for the younger guys to look at, because he is the oldest player on the team by a lot, actually, because the next oldest is another new addition. This is a great segue into him. It's Nick Bonino, 35 years old, and he's coming in probably as depth. I mean, he's going to be probably the fourth line center. But he's a very effective guy. He can win draws. He's good defensively, can put up some numbers. He's had some production in the NHL. He's dealt with injuries lately, but what do you think Bonino is going to bring to that bottom of the lineup there?
And again, that experience and a depth piece, they have some younger guys that they may want to slot in the fourth line that we'll probably talk a little bit about later. There's a handful of candidates to win that, the final 12th and 13th forward spot on this team. And, again, having that veteran, presence there at, a very cost effective measure for the Rangers, should make that fourth line, very solid throughout the season. And that's what you need from the fourth line. You need solid production. You need reliable production. You need guys that you can throw out there and eat minutes and do all that other stuff. And Bonino's the type of center that could, definitely check off a lot of those areas for the Rangers this year.
Yeah, like I said, he can score some goals too. He had 10 goals last season. That's pretty good for a fourth line guy, getting 10 goals out of them. So also able to kind of jump up the lineup if you need him to. I mean, he can play. He's shown some offensive ability in the past, so it's not like he can't do it, but he is older and probably a little slower. Still a good depth piece, like you said. Tyler Pitlick's in that same boat and probably that similar guy. He's younger, 31, he's been around, but more of a depth guy too. Had 7 goals last season. So again, a guy that can maybe bring a little bit of offense, but he's that depth piece as well. All right, looking at the whole group, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are returning. The big guys, Tammy Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, all those guys. Do you have any storylines you're kind of watching throughout training camp and early in the season for this forward group?
Well, for this forward group, the continuing thing is going to be, you know, what are they going to do with Lafreniere and, you know, Kako? That's been the big story for years, that neither one of them, I mean, Lafreniere gets a lot of the attention because he was the first overall pick, and kind of lost in that is like, gee, the year before, Kako was the second overall pick. He's a pretty darn good forward too. You know, when are the Rangers going to get these guys on track?
Yeah.
So now there's the big talk about, you know, are they going to switch Lafreniere to his off wing? They did a little bit last year, and what people don't realize, it was kind of successful. Their Corsi was pretty good. I don't remember the number, but it was pretty decent. I think they skated 11, 12 games together. You know, it went pretty well. And, you know, if you're going to do that, do you want to stick him on the third line? Or are you going to put him up in the second? Is he time to get power play? You know, what are they going to do to get this guy on track? You know, we know the potential's there. Now, you know, granted, if you go back and you look at all the pieces, you know, when everybody came in, he was not at the level of like a Sidney Crosby or, you know, a Bedard now that's in Chicago. But what I did hear a lot of comparisons were to Steven Stamkos. And that's pretty well, you know, Steven Stamkos is one of the top guys in the NHL, not maybe quite McDavid, you know, category, but he's still one of the top guys with a couple Stanley Cup rings. And Lafreniere is not there yet. And, you know, again, we're still wondering why, you know, all the rumors and stuff. And now he's on his third head coach in, you know, the 4 years that he's been there. You know, and he signed that contract, you know, it, like you're thinking, oh, first overall pick, it wasn't for a whole lot of money. And it's, it's just really kind of sad in a way to see him, you know, not get on track in the way he's really a better player, I think, than what he has shown as a New York Ranger. And I think it's on the Rangers, and, you know, they have the track record with him and Kako of not developing these guys the way they really should.
It's true. I mean, you got guys that were, I think, rushed into the league personally. Lafreniere was, in particular, was a guy that was rushed in, and not all first overall picks hit like a McDavid, like those types of guys. They don't. I mean, we expect it, unfortunately, but it's just not the case. You know, there are some generational players that can do it, but you can't expect them all to do it. And that's just the reality. Hopefully Connor Bedard, he is a generational talent, so he probably will be fine. But yeah, Lafreniere's just got to get on track. He's only 21. I mean, it's not like he's super old.
Yeah. It's not like he's hitting his upper 20s and we're going like, yeah, this is pretty much bust city. I always look back, as you know what, he came in during COVID. I mean, that whole time when he got drafted and the ping pong ball and, you know, New York going nuts because, you know, they got him, but then, you know, they didn't play until January and everything wasn't really the same. I always still kind of wonder how much of that really kind of messed with the development of him and, you know, some of the other players. It just was not a good situation back then. And hopefully he can bounce out of it again, like he's 21. Yeah. And, you know, at times we've seen flashes of it. The kid line did, you know, well at times last year and had nice streaks. But we need, you know, the Rangers and their fans want to see this more consistently. This is, you know, good for him and good for the team. You know, if his development takes a nice step forward this year, and hopefully Lavalette can bring it out of him. I mean, they're coming into training camp and he's, you know, they're going to do all this and all this thing the brand new coaches does. You know, he does have three Stanley Cups with, you know, three different teams. So he does, you know, he knows what he's talking about, but whether or not he can do it with this group and, you know, with some of these younger guys is still yet to be seen.
Yeah, it's, you know, Kako's the same way. I mean, he had a really good, pretty good season last, I mean, 18 goals, but you want to see a lot more from him too. And we'll see, he's only 22 as well. So it's like, yeah, these guys are really old. So we'll see how, if they can take an extra step this season. All right, on to the defense, which didn't really see any big changes. Erik Gustafsson comes in, little bit of a depth piece. He had pretty good stint, you know, in with, you know, last season with a couple teams, but coming in as a depth piece, he may slot in on the power play sometimes, but probably not going to move the needle too much. So they are returning a lot of their main pieces: Adam Fox, Keandre Miller, Jacob Trouba, Braden Schneider, lots of young guys still. I mean, led by, you know, and some of these guys, like Keandre Miller in particular, has really impressed me over the last couple of seasons. His development's really taken off. What do you think about this defense group going into the season?
It's a really good defensive group. I mean, there really shouldn't be, you know, really too many worries, you know, there. You look at this and go like, wow, what a nice group of defensemen. Gustafsson was a nice, you know, piece to be, you know, the fifth or sixth defenseman, whatever you want to call him. Fits in really nicely. He's going to get, you know, pressed a little bit by Zach Jones this year, I think, which, you know, he could end up being the, you know, the seventh D. They're just solid in D. And it, you know, if they play that way, you have Fox who scores, you have Trouba who plays solid defense. Keandre Miller has such a good all around game. Now talk about somebody who has developed, you know, that's interesting. Somebody coming in with, you know, very lower expectations, you know, coming out of college, not quite heralded. His development has gone on, you know, quite nicely. I think, you know, he's just such a solid NHL defenseman. He's just a guy you really like having on your team, slots in nicely to that second, you know, defensive pairing, him and Trouba. You know, that's solid. No worries there. Yeah, no worries there.
And Braden Schneider too is developing.
Sorry, Braden, didn't mean to leave you out. No, again, another solid, you know, I think he's another guy on a bunch of other teams. He'd be, you know, playing up in the second line and, you know, and in some, you know, some other teams, maybe the first line. There's some, you know, teams that really need some defensive help, but, you know, he's in with a really deep group. So, you know, he does, you know, they all do quite well. And I think Gustafsson, if he slots in nicely, they'll be solid. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm Shesterkin, I'm going like, yeah, you're making my job easier in front of me.
Yeah.
Like he needs it, but you know, it's always nice, you know.
Now, it's always good to have a good defense in front of you, especially as a goaltender, because you don't have to make as many of those crazy saves, even though he does do it. All right, well, it's good to move on to the goaltending, led by Igor Shesterkin, but he is backed up by another, probably, I don't know, I want to say Hall of Fame. It's kind of hard to, but he really good goaltender. Jonathan Quick, 37 years old now. Those days of Stanley Cup winning, you know, that type of goaltender, he's not that type anymore, but very solid backup. I want to ask you, though, with Quick, how many starts do you think he'll get this season? I mean, is he going to see minimal, or are they trying to have Shesterkin not play as much?
I think Shesterkin is probably in line for about 60 games. Mm. You know, again, I think a lot of what they do with, you know, Shesterkin's backup is, you know, dependent on schedule. How many games are they playing in so many nights? How many games are they playing, you know, back to back? I think they're going to take a look at that and see, you know, where can we slot Quick in? Because again, you know, Quick wasn't what he was years ago. He's 37, but you know, as a solid NHL veteran, he's the guy on the back to back night. You're saying, okay, you know, Shesterkin's going to take the Devils and, you know, Quick, you can have the Flyers. you know, or vice versa, one of those kind of nights. And I think that's where Quick's role is going to be. And it would, you know, I don't think they want to do that much. I'm not sure, you know, what Lavalette's philosophy is going to be with, you know, with the goaltender, but it wouldn't surprise me if he gets up where, you know, upwards of around 60 starts this season. And again, I think a lot of it is going to be schedule dependent.
Yeah. And that's probably it too. I mean, that Quick probably won't see a ton, but you know, it's good to have that veteran guy behind that, you know, you can probably count on to have some good starts for you. And we'll see what happens with him this season. All right. Now we've talked about all the position groups. How do the Rangers stack up in this Metro division? Cause the Metropolitan's a very tough gauntlet to get through. You know, the Pittsburgh Penguins have gotten better this season. They did a lot of changes. You know, Erik Karlsson coming in, now their defense is going to be really tough to stop offensively. You got them, you know, like you mentioned already, the Devils there, you got at the top, Carolina Hurricanes, lots of tough teams in here. Do they still stack up in that top tier, or are they kind of in that middle ground now?
No, absolutely. They belong in the top tier. I mean, you know, again, this is still basically the core group that made the Eastern Conference Finals the season before. You know, did they, again, you know, like with the NHL, did they just run into a Devils team that was hotter than them at the time? Maybe. I personally think on paper, the Devils aren't better than them necessarily. I think they're still relatively equal, as I think they are with really, you know, the Hurricanes. You know, I see those four, there's going to a lot that's going to happen in the season with all four teams that'll determine where they finish out in the playoffs. You know, whether, you know, if they get the production from all their players, health is going to play a big role into it over a course of, you know, 80 plus games in a very long season. You know, I think all of that's going to play. And then again, how are they doing going into the playoffs? I fully expect them to be in the playoffs, whether they end up as first or a wild card. I fully expect them to be there. I think it's just a matter of how the season progresses as far as, you know, the development with under Lavalette and, you know, their health and other issues like that, that affects so many other teams. Mm-hmm. But as far as an expectation, it would not surprise me to see them win the Metro this year. Mm-hmm. It really would. And I think on paper, the talent's there to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a real fight between those three teams for the division because, very tough team. I mean, like I say, the Penguins, I think, is the other wild card in here because they could be a lot better, especially if their goaltending is better. You know, if Tristan Jarry can bounce back to what he was before, they could be a tough team to take out too because missed the playoffs last season. So someone's going to have to miss the playoffs for them to get in. So.
And they only missed the playoffs because they lost that last game to the Blackhawks. Yeah. And, you know, they let Florida go in, and then the rest is kind of like NHL history. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Florida limps their way through the regular season pretty much, gets in the playoffs. They get healthy and get on a roll and make the Stanley Cup final. And, you know, that could end up being a scenario for any one of these teams in the Metro. So, you know, keeping healthy, keeping everybody happy, keeping everybody productive, you know, take your pick. But the Rangers should definitely be included in that conversation.
Yeah, I agree. So they're going to be in that top tier probably throughout the season. And we'll see if they can win the division and, you know, from there you know, into the playoffs. Yeah. All right, let's get to our quick fire round here. Lots of great questions to ask. Let's start with some breakout stars because there's a few that we're probably hoping become breakout stars. Who do you got for this?
It's hard on the Rangers to say a breakout star because it's gonna be hard to, you know, get past the production of, you know, Mika, Panarin, and Kreider. They're still going to be the top three. I'm thinking that this year it's going to be Kako. I think they're, you know, getting him on the first line with Mika and Kreider, and I think this is his year. He's got that extra year in. I think he looks a little bit more comfortable than Lafreniere is coming in. So I'm going to go with Kako for the breakout.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I mean, last season, like I say, had 18 goals. So if you can build on that and get 25, 30 at 25 would be, I think, would be really good. A lot of people probably hoping 30 would be the better choice, especially if he does play with those two guys, because they have a lot of chances. You'd think he would at least. All right. Guy that has to bounce back this season. Now, probably an obvious one is Lafreniere. So, but right. Is that the guy for you?
It's tough to say to bounce back because he hasn't really, put that season together. To me, a bounce back, you touched on the thing earlier in talking about, Blake Wheeler. Mm-hmm. I think in Winnipeg to take another leadership role in that locker room would be, for me on this team, the bounce back candidate. Because, all the pieces are there. You look at what everybody did. There were some, iffy things here and there, but I think Wheeler could be that piece. I don't even think he has to do much except for, play hard, be an example, a guy who will show up and play every single night. If that's been some criticism of the Rangers in the past, that could be one of them. And I think that kind of presence in the locker room for Wheeler to do that, like, we heard he did to some extent in Winnipeg, I think would be, huge for the Rangers this year.
Yeah, I think that's with Lafreniere, it's hard to say bounce back because he hasn't had one where he'd have to bounce back too. So, I agree with that. All right. Something or someone that could be an X factor this season. Like I say, it doesn't have to be a player. It can be, just a situation or something like that.
Well, the X factor is going to be the new head coach.
Yeah.
They've gone through two coaches and they got rid of them for different reasons. Gallant was too disengaged with the team and, where he'd come out and quote something and an opinion that was opposite of what the player told somebody else in the media 10 minutes earlier. And, Quinn has issue, developing talent and all this stuff. And now they have a new head coach in. And like I mentioned earlier, he's going to try to bring in a new philosophy and work ethic, and, everybody's going to forecheck and do all of that stuff. So that's the X factor. If Laviolette can get these guys together and get them all to play, the way they're capable of, the sky's the limit for this team. There's just so much talent there.
Yeah, if Laviolette can get everyone on the same page and, pulling on the rope in the same way, I think they definitely do have, very solid, a lot of great pieces, like we've said. So, success is there. You just have to have the right system to execute it. Right. All right. This could be an easy one because we got quite a few different guys that could do this. Who will lead the team in scoring this season at forwards and defense?
Defense is easy. It's going to be, it's going to be Adam Fox. So, that's his specialty. And again, it'll probably be a race between, Panarin and Mika. And they always finish so close to one another. Take your pick. I'm going to go with Mika only because I think with the questions they have on the second line of what Wheeler will bring, or if they put, Lafreniere on there as odd, that might eat into Panarin's production a little bit. So I'm going to go with Mika by a nose for that one.
Yeah. And it could be either one of those guys, even Kreider could potentially.
Get that,
right. So, doesn't put up as many assists. I think that's what it's going to
be. Right.
Yeah. He scores.
Yeah, I think that's what he lacks. Yeah. He lacks that in points, but, who knows, maybe that's a different role that he assumes, in this new system. Maybe, Kako gets some more goals and Kreider gets some assists. That's the other thing, to get somebody else. You have to have somebody score, and it can't always be Mika. So you need somebody on that other wing to, you know, add some goals in there too. And if Kako can do that, that, you know, that'll bring up Kreider's points. But I think it'll still at the end of the, it's going to be, you know, Mika by a nose.
Yeah. Yeah. I say so too. He had 91 points last season. So, well, Panarin had 92. So it's like, yeah like you said, neck right. and neck there. So it could be either one. Okay. Now trades. I mean, there's a few guys that, I don't know if Lafreniere is still on this list because he did sign that extension, but who do you see as trade bait this season before the deadline?
Well, I mean, I think we'd still have to bring up Lafreniere. Yeah. I think, you know, at some point, if things don't develop the way they want to, and they want to make a serious run at the playoffs, if they think they're primed for that, you know, Stanley Cup, you know, final appearance, he may be the piece they have to trade to get somebody else in there who can produce at a level in the playoffs that will get them over the hump. It's just tough to say, you know, you're going to give up the first overall pick, but, you know, as he mentioned, you know, they have some, you know, Kreider and Mikan Panarin are getting a little bit older. This window for this, you know, group to, you know, reach, you know, the Stanley Cup final and win a cup title is getting close to closing. Mm. It's not there yet. They still have some time. They're not that old. I think what Panarin's now
31. Yeah.
31. Okay. So, you know, they're getting there. So that would be the one. Other than that, I can't see them, you know, trading any of the other people unless it's one of the guys on the bottom line. They don't think the depth, they, you know, they want to trade depth piece for depth piece. You know, their first nine, I really like, and I think it's anybody's going to be Lafreniere. He would bring the most too.
Yeah.
You know, he went to the right team. They could probably get a really nice haul for him because he does, you know, come, you know, at such a cap friendly price. So if somebody who had a good team and fell out, wanted to, you know, take a shot on him, and it might be another situation where he might need a change of scenery too. Yeah. Look, New York is not for everybody. It's a tough place for an athlete, you know, to play in. And it just, you know, it just may not be his thing, and he may be better off somewhere else. But, you know, we have this season and a new coach to see if they can turn that around before, you know, any of that happens.
Yeah, I think that's probably why they signed him to that extension, to see if they can maybe one last ditch effort to see if he can get developed. And we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, all eyes are going to be on Lafreniere this season, that's for sure. All right, a bold prediction to end the show here for the season.
My bold prediction is I think they are going to reach the Eastern Conference Final again, but unfortunately lose to whatever hot team comes out of the Atlantic, because that's just, you know, kind of the way it seems to go. You know, and I think they're primed for that. And I think the thing about, the thing about the Rangers division is it's such a gauntlet to get through.
Yeah.
You know, the four teams that make it come close, they beat each other up for the first two rounds. You know, not that doesn't happen in the Atlantic, but, you know, for the Metro here, I think that four is a little tougher and a little tighter. So, I think that's true for any team in the Atlantic. I think it's just a tough thing for them to go that. So I do think they reach the Eastern Conference Final, but lose to whoever comes out of the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's a bold prediction too, because like I say, they're gonna be in tough in the first couple rounds to get through. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to watch the Rangers throughout this season with a lot of their talent, because they definitely have a lot of it, like we've said throughout this show. So they're definitely going to be a strong team throughout the season. All right. Well, thanks, Jim, for coming on the show and previewing the Rangers season. I know you normally cover the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Chicago Blackhawks, but thanks for lending your experience from a previous life with the covering the Rangers.
Oh, not a problem. I still watch a lot of the Rangers, as we talked about earlier. Spending most of my time in Syracuse, I get to see the Rangers, the Devils, and an Islanders on a regular basis on the MSG package. So, you know, it can be hockey 7 nights a week if it really, you know, lends itself to that at different times and situations and, you know, interfering in life. But yeah, no, and I really enjoy still watching them. That, you know, like I said, I've been a Panarin fan for a long time and, you know, really hope they do well.
Yeah, and like I say, it's going to be fun to watch this team because they do have a lot of exciting players to watch too. So yeah, it's going to be fun. But make sure checking out all the hockey at the Hockey Writers. Lots of preview stuff coming out every day. We got all the team sub stacks out there as well. So you want to subscribe to those. Every team has one. If you want to subscribe to them all, have fun. or you just want to subscribe to the Rangers one, you can do that and get all the different content from the Rangers writing team. They're putting out stuff every day. Unfortunately, couldn't get any of them on this show, but availability and lots, it's hard to get, you know, to get people scheduled for this, but thanks Jim for stepping in for the Rangers here so we can get a preview out. And yeah, make sure you're following the Hockey Writers all throughout preseason, regular season. We'll have content every day, so make sure you're following us there. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.